in hour number two of the Lombardi Line, presented by BetMGM. Dave Ross and Mike Pritchard here at South Point Casino and Hotel in fabulous Las Vegas, Nevada. And breaking news, and we talked about it right off the top of the show. Fake football, real injuries. And there are more injuries right now coming out of the Colts camp. And this is not good. Kwity Paye, of course, the stud defensive lineman out of Michigan, entering year number two, got injured in action today. And apparently right now he was clutching his left knee. Now, he was seen walking on the sideline. He did have a wrap around the knee. So we're not doctors. We don't play him. But you don't want your big lineman here in practice holding, clutching that left knee. And then also, about an hour ago at Colts practice, their punter tore his ACL, or tore his Achilles, rather.
Achilles.
And he's gone for the year. So I know it's a punter, and you go, as a punter, right? No big deal. Well, still, that's one of your 53 that you were counting on. So we don't know about the status of Kwity Paye, and we'll see if we can get more before the end of the show. But again, not a good progress report for a team that's got, boy, all of a sudden, look at their odds to win the AFC South. They have catapulted up to minus $1.40. It was about even money a couple months ago. Now, minus $1.40, the win total. Now, again, it's plus money for the over of 10.5 at plus $1.25. Feels a little high for my blood. Again, you're trying to chase down the Titans, and the betting market is expecting that to happen. But now you get an injury, you got to get a new punter. And now we'll find out about Kwity Paye, but that's a guy they were depending on, the defensive line. It feels like a team, Matt Eberflus, of course, was the former DC.
Right.
He is now the head coach in Chicago, that the defense was going to take a step up. This is not a good start to stepping up that defense.
Well, it's Gus Bradley's defense now, too. And so what we know about Gus Bradley as a coordinator, he wants to get after the passer.
Right.
So you have Yannick Ngakoue, who came over, and then you had Kwity Paye, who was going to be the opposite side of him. And now you got this injury. So from what we know right now about the injury, he's still standing on the sideline. They didn't card him off.
No, I mean, it doesn't. And I just, the latest report I saw on Twitter, and again, these are from Colts beat writers,
right,
per se, is that he's walking in his own power.
Okay.
Which is good. So he doesn't need the assistance. But, you know, again, we're not doctors, but you've seen this in the past. We're
from
guys.
From experience, like if there was something significant, because the doctor's going to do the joint test. And so you don't want to be walking on that. You want to get imaging if you can immediately. Obviously, it's unfortunate, but how concerned do you think the Colts are right now if he's staying on the sideline? Like, in terms of, like, you're going to get imaging, perhaps the imaging later on will reveal something.
Right.
But immediately, the immediate reaction isn't cart him off, let's get him to imaging right now. Because when I went down in practice and training camp, they told me to go in and get imaging right away. So I wasn't standing on the sideline with ice.
Boy. So you knew
something. You knew. Because the sooner you know, the sooner you can repair whatever you need to repair. But I'm not saying it's encouraging. I'm not suggesting that at all.
Right.
But he wasn't carted off like Jensen was carted off. And, okay, he's going to be out for a significant amount of time. And, you know, you hear about linemen that get carted off, or even receivers. But it's immediate, right? So we're not doctors. I'm not trying to diagnose anything.
But you know from experience how this works, and normally the telltale signs. It's interesting. We sit here on a Wednesday here, Pritch, and a week from today, we'll be on the eve of the first football game, real football game, in the NFL season. It's like, it's upon you. So now, you know, you got one more preseason game to get through. The Colts have very high expectations,
right,
and rightfully so, I believe. But you just don't want to get these type of injuries ever, of course. And some might say, well, it's better that it's happening now. We're going to have final cuts. So maybe you can go get a D lineman if you need to off of somebody else's roster. But still, you're weaker today than you were yesterday if you're back in the Colts. When do you start to go, okay, these injuries are starting to get to the point where I look at the price tag associated with the Colts, and maybe I'm not as high as I was a week ago on them? Is there like a demarcation line? Because the Ravens, you remember this time last year, they were dropping like flies in the running back room in preseason and in training camp, right?
Right.
So you're just running out of bodies at some point. But you know this better than most. It is a next man up league, and depth is a problem, but nobody's going to cry for you when you lose your punter to an Achilles, or potentially lose Kwity Paye with a knee injury.
Well, I think from a betting standpoint, you look at the Colts and you look at the complete roster, and I think we talked about this, about numbers. You know, there's some teams out there where they're about 25 with their roster numbers, meaning they can fill the starting unit offensively, defensively. Special teams are not going to be that great.
They're thin.
Right, they're thin. And somebody goes down, a couple players go down, watch out. But if you are, a team, a franchise with a roster that goes well into the high 30s or even to the 40s, you feel pretty good about that as a better. So, I mean, you think about Baltimore, a lot of guys going down, but yet they still had a pretty decent roster.
8-3 until Lamar goes down.
And I think for the Colts, too, that's why their win total is so high. I mean, you look at their roster.
Man.
They have drafted, and a lot of people give the organization a lot of credit for how they built this team from the inside out.
Mm-hmm.
And they have a lot of quality players. And I haven't really gone over the numbers yet with the Colts. But I would venture to guess, you know, you're in the mid-30s range, closing in on 40, in terms of that roster from in all three phases, too, offensively, defensively, and into special teams with depth. So if Pay is not ready to go immediately, hopefully they get some good news there. They have some guys that could perhaps step into that role as well.
We talked about it a little bit in hour number one with the Chargers going 9-8 last year and somehow inexplicably missing the postseason when they were leading the AFC West late in the year, and then it went south. The Colts, by the way, last year, 9-8 as well, right? And all they had to do was beat Jacksonville in week 17.
They underachieved, man. Come on.
Right?
Yeah.
So those are two teams to me that the Colts and the Chargers feel like the betting public is behind a lot because they felt like, well, last year they should have got it. They did underachieve. They won't do the same thing, you know, 2.0, right? What has to be different? Now, look, obviously the big change here is Matty Ice is now the quarterback and it's not Carson Wentz. So I think by subtraction, they go, well, they've gotten better. And that's why the win total is now 10.5 for a 9-win team last year. But defensively, do you worry about this team at all now if they start to erode a little bit a D-line? Because I do think of the Colts as a very balanced team.
Right.
That they should be able to be proficient defensively, better offensively. We know about the running game and Jonathan Taylor and what a dynamic run game they do have, that you might not rely on Matt Ryan so much. But again, look at the numbers now to make the playoffs. You almost delay $2. That's how much the betting market believes this is a playoff team. To miss it, it's plus 155. Again, we mentioned that the inflated price now in the South is up to a minus $1.40. That was about even money not very long ago. So the betting public has gotten behind this team. I just wonder, when does the price not match the reality of the team?
Well, so I have a concern with, we're calling him Shaq now, Shaquille Leonard.
Oh.
Because he's got a back situation and he's playing linebacker.
Mm.
I mean, those things don't add up, and you feel good about that situation. You're going to have to manage. I mean, how does he play the entire season with a back problem?
And he is the bell cow.
And he is a playmaker.
Man.
He is the ultimate playmaker, really, on that defense side of the ball. But they've added Stephon Gilmore, and I mentioned Yannick Ngakoue, and this Gus Bradley system, getting after the passer, disrupting the passer, that's something that they want to do. Can they create turnovers too? Perhaps. But if Leonard goes down or if he's not available for a significant amount of time, I mean, that does bring some concern to the defense. Now, offensively, you have two quarterbacks in that quarterback room that have started a Super Bowl.
Right.
I don't know where you can find that. You know, I try to find that or jog the memory, jar the memory here in my memory bank in terms of teams that had that situation in history, where you have two quarterbacks in a quarterback room that have started Super Bowls.
Nick Foles, Matty Ice.
Right, but okay, Matty Ice lost one. Certainly Nick Foles won one. Okay, I get it. Nick Foles is a backup quarterback and all that. But from Frank Reich's perspective and trust, go back there, you probably have a little bit more because I won a Super Bowl with Foles, and then I can work with Matty Ice. But I have trust and I have confidence that if it's not going well with one guy, I can switch to the other guy. And you know, Carson Wentz, whatever he presented, obviously they got rid of him after 1 year.
Yeah.
So that tells you how much trust or how much belief or how much confidence they had in that guy. But no, I do not look for the Colts to underachieve again. In fact, I look for them to overachieve, but I still have some injury concerns there for a playmaker on that defense.
And again, it is interesting because Frank Reich, you mentioned Nick Foles and their marriage together in Philadelphia when they won the Super Bowl, shocked the world by beating the Patriots. That year really shocked everybody by just getting there, let alone winning the Super Bowl. You get that equity, right? So Frank Reich feels like he has that coaching equity, even though I do feel like they've underachieved a little bit in recent years with the Colts. I would feel like if they missed the playoffs this year, and again, plus money to do so, if you think they're going to fall flat, plus $1.55, then we might have some more questions about what's really going on with Indy. The roster overall is good, but boy, you mentioned Leonard at linebacker.
Yeah.
If he's not right, I mean, he's just a tackling machine. and a guy that they have really depended on the last couple of years. And I know Eberflus is gone. Maybe it's an addition with Gus Bradley this year. But, like, what is the identity of this football team to you, Pritch? Do you look at them as offense first, Jonathan Taylor running the ball, or do you just look physical? Because I think physical, offensive line.
Right.
They get after you, Defensively, they want to get after you. I don't think of them as flash. I think of them as substance.
They're actually built for the playoffs, be honest with you. Like, if they win a division, it's a two-team race in the AFC South, Tennessee and Indy, because you're not giving any thought to Houston and Jacksonville at this point, winning a division. So win a division. I mean, that's certainly what they're talking about inside that locker room. Let's win a division. Let's get to the playoffs because we're built for the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
We can run a football. We're physical.
We can play in any weather.
We can play against anybody, any weather, exactly. So, no, they're built the right way. I think, like I said, league circles, people were envious of how Ballard had built this team in terms of offensive line, defensive line, from the inside out, and now you've added some maybe missing pieces with the quarterback situation. So, this team is ready to go. You're worried about key injuries. And one key one, though, would be Leonard.
And it is interesting bringing in Nick Foles to reunite him with Frank Reich, because if Matt Ryan, down year last year, but the offensive line in Atlanta was awful.
Mm-hmm.
And, we believe it's going to be a major upgrade in Indy. You keep him upright. Remember Philip Rivers? A couple years ago, they were oh so close to beating Buffalo in the first round of the postseason with Phillip Rivers on the 18th hole of his career.
At that point. In the clubhouse.
He was in the clubhouse, still playing quarterback. Let's talk a little golf. And can you bet on some virtual golf events? We'll talk about that next here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. It is time to download Nevada's premier sports betting app, BetMGM Sports. BetMGM is all of your favorite wagering options, along with in-game betting, boosted odds specials, and much, much more. Download the BetMGM app today or stop by any MGM casino on the Strip with your state-issued ID to open up an account and start placing sports bets from anywhere in Nevada. Whatever your sport, whatever your betting style, you're going to love BetMGM's state-of-the-art technology and fan-friendly specials every day of the week. Visit BetMGM for term and conditions. Must be 21 years of age or older and physically located in Nevada. Please gamble responsibly. If you have a problem, call 1-800-522-4700. Back alongside Mike Pritchard, I'm Dave Ross. This is VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. So I ask you, Mike Pritchard, would you bet on virtual sports? Now, the reason why I bring this up, because this is breaking news today.
Okay.
You ready for this?
Sure, I think.
Tiger Woods and Rory McIlroy are launching a tech-infused golf league in partnership with the PGA Tour that will have players competing on 6 3-man teams in 15 regular season matches and a playoff starting in 2024. It's a new league. It's going to be called the TGL.
Okay.
It's going to feature 2-hour 18-hole matches on a virtual course. Now, they're going to take place in primetime on Monday nights in a custom-made venue in a yet-to-be-determined location. Now, what this essentially means is, starting in January 2024.
After Monday Night Football.
They're not going head-to-head against the NFL. So, football's over. Monday nights are over.
Right.
Golf is going to swoop in with, by the way, Tiger Woods is now 46 years young. And he's going to play with Rory McIlroy. And they'll have these yet-to-be-determined teams. Feels a lot like LIV Golf, but it's simulated. This isn't actual golf. You can and will be able to wager on it. So are we going to have Wes Reynolds and Brady Cannon and Matt Eumanns, the guys that do an unbelievable work on long shots each and every week here in the network, and break down who's going to win a virtual golf event? And does this not scream, as our producer Matt Santos said during the break, that if Tiger can't get around these golf courses anymore for real, let's do it virtually. One, will people watch? Two, will people wager?
Well, I think people will watch because they're building esports arenas around the country. Like, I don't know if you noticed that. Like
esports arenas.
Yeah, and so this sounds like it's potentially esports related.
It does.
And I know esports betting, you can find information about that. So there's an interest, obviously. Like, we have a show called Follow the Money on the network. And as an economist, I follow the money. And so years ago, Mark Cuban got into esports. And I'm like, wait a minute, why is he getting the esports? And okay, now we're getting it revealed. And all these partnerships with sports betting and all this from these owners in the NBA, the owners in the NFL. I mean, okay, now it makes sense. All these billionaires kind of seeing the future. That's what billionaires do. They see the future, right? Or they see into it. I mean, if there's interest in it, then people will watch it, but they had to create the interest. And now you got two names that potentially could create the interest, Tiger Woods and Rory.
Well, you just mentioned that billionaires and innovators see the future. Mm-hmm. You ready for what Tiger said?
Okay.
And I quote, "This is the next evolution within professional golf."
I didn't know he said
Mike that. Pritchard just nailed it. Tiger is saying this is the next big thing. Yeah. And I quote from Tiger, "Embracing technology to create this unique environment gives us the ability to move our sport into prime time on a consistent basis alongside so many of sports' biggest events."
Right.
As a big sports fan myself, Tiger, I'm excited about blending golf with technology and team elements common in other sports. So what they're saying is, Live Golf, we see what you're doing with team sports. That's what Live Golf is, right? They've got these team events. We're going to do that, but we're going to put it in prime time, which we can't do because you can't play golf in the dark, but we can do it via virtual reality.
Right, right.
So we can take this next foray into the unknown and grow the game of golf.
Right, right. I mean, it's fascinating, too, because as an economist, Dave, and you study history, too, and you have different ages, like the automobile age, the technology, you know, all those things that expanded growth, you know, within our economy. Okay, here you go with esports and these names. Tiger Woods grew the game of golf, you know, and now with esports, is he going to lend his name and his likeness and all this? And is he going to attract partnerships? Because we're in the content age.
Mm-hmm.
So you got YouTube, you got all these content creators all over the place, right? Social media has allowed that.
No doubt.
And so now that we're in a content age, if you can create this type of content, just generate the interest, and then you'll have success with it. So I'm not mad at them for trying it. It's interesting. It really is, to be honest with you. And I think people will bet on it.
Right. And this, apparently, you would be able to wager theoretically on these teams and or in these simulated courses. And you're nailing it right in the head, Pritch, because here's what Rory McIlroy said. Remember, this is in partnership now with the PGA Tour. He said, Rory, the new league will allow PGA Tour players to interact more with fans and help grow the game. He also said players will have an opportunity to have ownership stakes in the league as well.
Right.
So this is not some, hey, let's play video games for fun. This is going to be a league.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be broadcast, so you got to have visibility. It's in partnership with the PGA Tour, so the money is going to be there to support it. And they really believe, as you heard Tiger say, this is the next big thing.
Yeah.
Again, I'm skeptical because I'm old school and I love golf and I like to watch these guys actually hit a real golf ball on a real course. But you can't do that in the dark.
Well, I will say this. The game of golf is in good shape. And, you know, okay, I hope I don't sound weird here, but going to an auto dealership, a high-end auto dealership, you know what they have in their waiting room?
What do they have?
As you're getting service for your high-end car, they have golf simulators. You can play around the golf. You can play around the golf.
Play 18 at
exactly. While you wait for your oil change or while you wait for any service on your high-end car. I mean,
wow.
Yeah, you got to think about the customer, right? The customer base, too. And you think about the affluent nature of golf. I mean, certainly, I think there's going to be an audience for this, but no, golf is in good shape, and this is a way to grow the game and expand the game from Tiger's mouth right there.
And again, you remember this time last week, I believe it was on Tuesday, that Tiger was getting off the plane to meet with the players, and players-only meeting. Mm-hmm. Maybe this was part of those conversations. And Tiger now at 46, and you watch Tiger hobbling around the majors this year, the only events he played in three of the four, right? And you could see he physically, with the leg after the almost near-death experience with his car accident, he just can't get around the golf course like he used to. And I wonder if he looks at it and says, well, if I can't walk anymore, I'm still Tiger Woods. I'll always be Tiger Woods.
Right, right.
You know, I don't know if Michael Jordan, if he ever had decided after his playing days, I'll do a simulated basketball league with, you know, you name a guy in the league, LeBron. Would people watch that in virtual reality? Well, they're intrigued by the name.
Yeah.
So I think initially Rory's still a mainstay on the tour today. Tiger at the, clearly in the back nine of his career, if not at the clubhouse, as we were talking about earlier here with Philip Rivers. this is a way to extend his visibility and still have an impact in the game of golf. And again, for gamblers, if you're able to wager on it and figure out an angle and an edge, people are going to try to do it.
Absolutely. Again, we're in a content age, and you think about the Manning cast, you think about Gronk, UFC.
Yes.
I mean, it's all about content and creating that interest for content, or having that interest for the type of content that you create. And so this, to me, it's just following in lockstep of that. But it was the billionaires that saw this coming, though, years ago. And again,
it's not the guys without any money that ever see this stuff, right? It's the guys who go, we can make money, and here's how we do it.
This is where this is going. And so years ago, when Cuban and others are investing in esports, this is where this was going. And so now we're hearing about it. And it's not surprising to me, but I can see how it can be surprising to people. But just think about that. We're in a content age right now, and any way people can create content and create a market for it, whether it's betting or not, they're going to do it.
This is fascinating. This is hot off the presses, right? This is a release. And again, I know where people stand on LIV Golf and however you feel about the Rival Golf League now backed by the Saudis. I think the PGA Tour said, we got to do something. Mm-hmm. And if they're talking about these team events, and that's what the players say with LIV Golf, I don't think anybody believes them. I think they just think it's a money grab. Well, this has got some of those similar features, right? Now, again, this is virtual. This is all new. This has never been tried before in the history of golf, obviously. But with today's technology age that we do live in, to your point, I think they said, all right, if we got smart people behind it, we have the tours backing behind it. We got Tiger Woods and Rory McIlroy.
Yeah, sponsorships eventually, right?
And we're going to put it in prime time on Monday night for the world to see, potentially. It's going to get off the ground. Now, does it have staying power?
Right.
That's something we'll find out. But I do think this is the way for Tiger Woods. Hey, you know this. Guys play ping pong waiting for practice. They're competitive.
Yeah.
So I don't care what Tiger's playing. If it's a video game, it's simulated, you know he's going to be into it.
Like, be on a plane for a significant amount of time. And, okay, spades.
Yeah.
I mean, all kinds of things turns into a gambling match.
If you can bet on it, people are going to watch. So that's going to be fascinating, but it has hot off the presses from the PGA Tour. When we come back, Lou Finocchiaro is going to join the program. Again, no UFC event this week. We might look ahead to the big primetime matchup next week and also get to his thoughts on the NFL and how really he handicaps week one of the NFL. Come on back. It is the Lombardi Line here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. The College Football Guide is out now, and the NFL Guide drops tomorrow. So start your football season off on the right foot with expert profiles of every team, including team trends, power ratings, and over-under recommendations. Plus, best bets on season win totals, divisional finishes, and player awards. Remember, the only way to get access to this year's football betting guides is to become a VSiN all-access subscriber. Sign up in our discounted football special. You can get the access to everything we do from now through the Super Bowl for only $175, or you can save 50% off the monthly price with the annual subscription and bet smarter all season long. Go to VSiN.com/subscribe for all your options and become part of the Sports Betting Network. Back alongside Mike Pritchard, I'm Dave Ross. We roll on the Lombardi Line, and more, the hits keep on coming for the Colts. We just saw Ryan Kelly, a talented offensive lineman there in Indianapolis, has tested positive for COVID-19, so we won't be seeing him in preseason game number 3. You just hope that he's going to be available for week number 1. It's been a rough day for the Colts so far at camp.
Yeah.
Let's bring in our guy, Lou Finocchiaro, here. You can follow him on Twitter, as I do, at GamBlue. And Lou, we don't have UFC this week, so I don't know what you and I are going to do. We don't get to do First Strike, First Look, and certainly First Strike on Fridays, as we normally do. Do you turn your attention right to the NFL in week 0 of college football, or how do you take a week off from the fight game?
Well, Mike and Dave, thanks so much for having me on. And to answer your question, with 44 to 46 fight cards per year in the UFC, when a week off comes, I have no problem just folding the tent, not even thinking about it for a week, especially when we're in August and there's NFL to prepare for, and that's no small task. So I haven't even thought of UFC. I know the next card's next week in Paris, and I'll pick up where I left off on Sunday. But until then, I'm really trying to put it together with, 2 weeks left before the NFL season begins.
Lou, when you're looking at the NFL right now, I could not wait to ask you this question, by the way. Good to see you. And so in typical situations, at least for me, it's been new because of the approach in preseason. But as more experienced, better yourself, I mean, you had the advantage of that third preseason game, the dress rehearsal in which you would get some intel, I would imagine, from teams. But now teams are not playing their starters, you know, and approaching week one, though. Like, how have you changed or adapted to the situation in which you don't see the starters in preseason as we approach week one in a regular season?
Yeah, that's a great question, Mike, because just as soon as we got in the rhythm of four preseason games, now it's three and we have to change. Mm-hmm. And really, it doesn't alter what I was doing too much because I was always watching preseason with an eye on second string talent, simply because we don't see first string that much. In this case, it looks like some of the teams played their talent in week two. We'll see some in week three. More importantly, I'm using that as a basis to put a foundation together to prepare for actual betting in week one when it matters, and we know they're strapping them up to go win a football game.
Well, let's talk about week one, because I do wonder sometimes. Traditionally, I've always thought it's the hardest week to really gauge, but it feels like the lines might be the loosest in week one, right? So if you can really identify some good lines, you can make it very profitable week one. How do you look at week one's handicapping purposes? Is it spaghetti against the proverbial wall here, or do you have some angles that you're truly looking for?
Well, it depends how you go about it. I think most people would respectfully say that week one lines have been pounded out by the publics and the sharps more than any other line, because during two through week 17, you only get a Sunday night opener in a week for the market to make those numbers efficient. In this case, we've had some months. Circa's had their numbers out on the NFL since May something. So these numbers have been pounded pretty efficient right now. There's no way I want to try and address week one at this point. Here's what I do like to address. And that is that, as Socrates says, if you want to be wrong, follow the masses. So I'm of the opinion that everybody is wrong. How do I get to everybody? By being patient. Because what's going to happen? Yeah, these numbers have been pounded and pounded and pounded. But what's going to happen come Saturday of week one of the NFL, which is week two of college football? The action junkies are going to be betting their college. And as soon as the Hawaii game goes over, the NFL board's going to light up. And it's at that point in time that we have numbers that are pretty accurate to the market as it was before Sunday is going to change. And what's that change going to be? That change is going to be the public. And I'm going to go the opposite way. And an easy game to try and draw our attention to that in week one would be Chicago and San Francisco. Already the tsunamis on San Francisco with teasers, money line, every which way you can. Line opened 6.5, went to 7. It's going to 7.5. Mark my words. And I'll tell you that it's hard to be a contrarian, but I'll tell you right now, I'll be on Chicago on 7.5 or better, like white on rice.
Boy, we don't have to fight game, but we still have Lou. You know, Lou, it is fascinating because so much hype, and I could only imagine, you know, the public really looking for headlines or tuning in to VSiN to try to get some info. And I mean, I wouldn't know where to start with Cleveland and Carolina. And that matchup, too. I mean, you mentioned maybe there's an angle with the 49ers and the Bears in that line. But you got a line of one for Carolina with a new quarterback situation. And, okay, the mess with Cleveland, I mean, the hype has been all over the place. But I don't know if you're going to stay away from this or you're going to look for a line shift in this matchup either. I mean, 41.5 is the total, too. I wouldn't know where to start to cap this one. Help me out.
Yeah, that's one we should have been active with some time ago, because that line been bouncing around like a drop of oil on a hot skillet since the suspension of Watson was announced. Now, what you add into it, I think, is the terrible fate of the Browns fan. Here are the Browns. They get rid of Mayfield. They bring in a guy they give a bunch of money to that can't play. Now Mayfield goes to Carolina to beat them week one as well. Mayfield's going to have a good season in Carolina, and the Browns are going to be left with vomit on their shirts. I'm telling you, that's how it works for the Browns, and that's how it's going to work week one and this year with those two teams.
You know, Fritz and I were talking earlier in the program, Lou, about coaches. You just don't want to be in the business of betting against, i.e. Bill Belichick here, year number two with Mac Jones as the starting quarterback in New England. Do you look at coaches for characteristics of team profiles here, maybe in the futures markets here for win totals, or is it a week-by-week basis? Because I don't want to get in the habit of blindly betting against Bill Belichick, even though there feels like there's a lot of tumult right now of what's going on with the Patriots, certainly with the coaching staff and who's calling plays.
Yeah, and I heard Mike say, you know, he's betting with his wallet, but he's not betting against Belichick.
Right.
So that says enough right there. There's enough hesitancy there, and that's all I draw from that team and that situation. It's okay to not have an opinion on a certain team or a certain way. That's a very tough one. With the offensive coordinator situation, everyone making guesses in a division that looks like it's top heavy, you know, with one team. So as far as coaches, to answer your question, yes. And here's the one I really think has a chance of sparking, and there'll be a lot of headlines for a few weeks. And that's the relationship that Cousins has with O'Connell in Minnesota. Mm. I think that is going to be like when you see the movie and the lovers are running towards each other in the beach because they haven't seen each other in a long time. That's what Cousins is going to run to this coach like, because he's getting done with Zim, and that offense is going to break open.
Yeah, you know, Lou, I'm hoping for a situation in which I can see that coaches are figuring it out. Like, for instance, the Belichick thing. Like, whether or not there's questions, who's going to call the plays, but can he figure it out? Because to Belichick's credit, he's been able to adjust over decades to the National Football League. And so I guess that's going to be informative to me if Belichick can figure this offense out. And if he can, maybe there's an angle there. And maybe I can get there before the books can see it as well.
I guarantee you he'll figure it out. The question is when.
Right.
And that's the question that no one can answer, but he's been able to figure everything up till now. He didn't forget how to do it. He's going to be just fine in the long run. That said, Mike, I'm not betting for or against that team either.
Yeah. Very quickly, you got about 45 seconds, Lou. Another team that I'm looking at the coaching staff, and I'm looking at Brandon Staley with the Chargers. We know about the talent they have, but they only won 9 games last year, didn't make the postseason. Do you expect Boy Genius 2.0 to be better in his second go around?
Yeah, I expect him to improve. That's a good team, but they're in a terribly competitive division where they're going to take turns beating the heck out of each other. We're going to have to see where each team stands with attrition as this season goes along, but I see no weakness in the L.A. Chargers.
I know. I want to say San Diego every time, too. Hey, Lou, appreciate you as always. Again, check out the Bout Business podcast each and every week before a UFC event, and, of course, follow him on Twitter as I do, at GamLou. Can't believe it, Lou. We're almost to football season. We'll be talking more MMA in the weeks to come. Thanks as always, my friend.
Thanks, Mike. Thanks, Dave. Good luck, everyone.
There he is, Lou Finicaro, everybody. When we come back, let's take a look at some teams that we think might be in the line to have the most wins and the fewest. Come on back. It's the Lombardi Line on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. BetMGM, the king of sportsbooks, unleashes the spirit of Las Vegas with BetMGM Rewards. Every time you make a wager at BetMGM, you're going to earn BetMGM Rewards points that you can redeem for online bonus credits like free bets and risk-free tokens. Plan a trip to Vegas? Come out. Convert those BetMGM points into MGM Rewards points that you can use towards dining, shows, and hotel rooms at over 20 MGM resort properties located on the Las Vegas Strip and nationwide. BetMGM Rewards is sports betting's premier loyalty program, featuring exclusive offers, incredible experiences, and valuable perks when you wager on the BetMGM app. Sign up with BetMGM or log on today to get an even bigger piece of the action with BetMGM Rewards. Eligibility restrictions do apply. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. Must be 21 years of age or older to wager. Please gamble responsibly. If you have a problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Back alongside Mike Pritchard, I'm Dave Ross, wrapping up the Lombardi Line here on a Wednesday. And Pritchard, you look at the numbers out there potentially to have the most wins in the regular season of the NFL, and conversely to have the most losses. Now, I want to start with the bad. Who's going to be the best of the bad that you can make some money on? Now, the Texans are the favorite to be the worst team in the NFL this year at plus $3. Nipping at the heels.
Right.
The ATL. Don't take personal offense to that. Plus 350 for your old Falcons. The J-E-T-S, Jets, with all the injuries already, they're plus 650. It's the Bears. That's where I want to start at 8-1. And they're tied right now with Seattle at that same number. To me, there feels like there's value in that 8-1 number with the Bears. New coaching staff, Matt Eberflus taking over. Roquan Smith, maybe their best player. We don't even know what's going to happen with Roquan, if he's going to be suiting up for week one and beyond. You got Justin Fields now in year number two, but now a new system in year two. I don't know if that's for better or worse. Why would I be encouraged, if I'm a Bears backer, that they won't be the worst team in the NFL?
I don't think you can. I mean, the Bears plus 800, they're highly intriguing here. Fewest wins because there's very few long-term answers on that roster.
Yes.
Because of what they want to plan for in the future. So that thing could all fall apart, you know. And that's, to me, the bet here on the board. Where can it all fall apart? And for who could it all fall apart for? And the Bears, prime suspect, I think, on this board. Jacksonville last year, 11-1, I wouldn't touch it, but last year, maybe the writing was on the wall that it could all fall apart with Urban, and it did.
Boy, did it.
I mean, start with the last place teams in each division and think about the year and think about the progress or lack thereof. And, okay, did it fall apart for them, right? And because we can't say the tank word. You know, Stephen Ross, the tampering and all suspension, you can't go there. And
teams
aren't going to go there, even though we know that exists. The Commanders, 25-1, that could fall apart.
It could.
Right? Cleveland, it already has fallen apart, but they're 30-1. I mean, can they build this thing back up, or could they have the fewest wins this year? Probably not with that defense, but I mean, that's getting further down the board. But yeah, I agree with you. The Bears, they just have very few long-term answers on that roster right now. So therefore, a prime candidate to have the fewest wins.
And I look at it too from a coaching perspective. You mentioned the terrible word, the T word, the tank word.
Mm-hmm.
If you're a first-year head coach, more often than not, you're going to have a longer leash. So if it gets to the midway point of the year and you go, you know what, we don't have a quarterback, and there's a great quarterback draft coming out, I'm not saying Stephen Ross, let's lay down. But if we don't win, it's not the end of the world.
Right.
Other coaches, like look at Atlanta and Arthur Smith, he wants to win. He knows he might not be long for the NFL world if he doesn't start winning. So I don't know that they would be in play to tank. Lovey's in year one down there in H-Town. The Jets right now, there's no way that Robert Saleh is going to lay down. He needs to win and try. I'm looking at teams that I think are still going to try at the end of the year. Pete Carroll showed last year in a very tankable situation. They didn't do it, and they played really good football at the end of the year, right? Matt Rhule, 10-1 for the Panthers. He's got to win now, or he might be out of a job.
Mm-hmm.
So I do think there's a correlation that you have to look at for coaches that are going to be like, man, I don't have the luxury of time, so I can't just lay down and play for that number one pick next year.
Right. I mean, and that's why I go to, where is it going to fall apart? Like, the Falcons are interesting because I know what you're saying with Mariota and Ritter and, I mean, Arthur Smith. But they did go after Deshaun, right?
They
had a chance to draft Justin Fields. They had a chance to draft a quarterback. They did not. I'm curious about that. They're plus 350, too, here, by the way. But plus 800 for the Bears. They're not looking for a quarterback. They got Justin Fields. Other teams that could tank without tanking.
Right. That's what we're looking for.
Yeah.
We're trying to find teams that will never admit that they're tanking, but you know they're going to be in play for one of these top-notch quarterbacks coming out next year.
Do they have room for to have the benefit of the doubt, like the Giants?
Right. I was just going to get there 14-1.
Sure. Chris,
I think we're on the same mentality here because you got a first-year head coach in Brian Daboll. They are not committed to Daniel Jones past this year. If it goes south early, I'm not saying with a new GM and a new head coach that they're going to be in cahoots, but if you told Giant fans right now that you might have, say, Bryce Young next year in New York as you're starting, and we got to tank this year to get there, I think a lot of people would sign up for that program right now.
And they think about how they built their team this year. They went into trenches. Evan Neal and Thibodeau.
That's right.
So there's room to get a quarterback
and
somewhere.
And Thibodeau's already banged up to begin the year.
Yeah. The thing about this bet, too, though, is the Jimmy Garoppolo situation. Like, which team would he go to where they could improve and kind of avoid that, right? And I mean, the Giants, I don't know. I mean, the appeal of having Bryce or CJ as opposed to Jimmy G, too. I mean, it gets interesting because you think about Daboll and what he had with Josh Allen. CJ Stroud, I mean, my goodness, the writing's on the wall right there for the Giants, isn't it?
It feels like at 14-1, they could be in play. Yeah. They just kind of come to the consensus that Brian Daboll says, I need one of those two guys that we just mentioned to play quarterback next year. That's going to be better off than Daniel Jones. That could be in play.
4-13 last year, too, in the season.
And now they're like, people are expecting 7-8 wins for this team. I'm like, I don't see it. Let's look conversely and flip the script here to the team that might have the most wins. And we just spoke about Brian Daboll, his old employee. Was a little bit north of where he's employed now, and that's with the Buffalo Bills up there in Orchard Park. And right now, you can understand why Josh Allen, who Brian Daboll really helped develop and get the best of, they're the shortest number on the board at plus $5.
Right.
The second team on the board at BetMGM surprises me a bit, and that's the Buccaneers at plus 550. This has not been smooth here for Todd Bowles and company with the disappearance of Tom Brady. He's back now. We're all expected, at least the betting market is, that everything's going to fall back in place and they're going to be just fine. I don't know that I buy that. I would say that while the Bills are probably in the weakest division top to bottom in the AFC, the NFC is just much softer, it feels like, than the AFC at large. Would you roll the dice then with either a Bucs, Packers, Rams, the next three shortest prices on the board, versus AFC teams like the Chiefs at 8-1? They got to run the gauntlet just to get out of their own division.
Well, they do. But then you think about that division, too. I mean, you got the Chiefs and the Chargers both at 8-1, plus 800 here. So the win total for the Chargers, we just went over it. It's 10.5. I mean, the first team to 11, like, or the Rams and their division, the situation trying to go back-to-back to – see, the NFC is wide open to me.
Right.
But you have the elite quarterbacks at the top. You got Josh Allen, you got Tom Brady, you got Aaron Rodgers, and certainly you got Matthew Stafford and Patrick Mahomes. And you know what you think about these quarterbacks. This is a tough call here, though, because you have the Broncos too at 16-1. Can they get on a roll with Russell? Perhaps get to 11 wins. This one's tougher to me. I would avoid this bet just because there's so many questions with the elite teams too. If you do take a chance, the Chargers are intriguing though at plus 800.
Yeah, exactly. If they can just get on a roll.
Right.
But again, the divisional play, those six games would be so tough. You know, you look back just a year ago, and Tennessee had the best record in the AFC. Think of that. I mean, what number could you have gotten preseason on that a year ago? So there's always a surprise team that we're not really thinking about today. I look at the Ravens at 16-1, and I go, okay, with Lamar back, if the ankle's good, the running game is back. Could they be? I don't know how good top to bottom the division will be now that the Browns have a lot of question marks. Without Deshaun Watson for 11 games, they might be down. The Bengals coming off that Super Bowl run. The Steelers, it might be the first year. Mike Tomlin, dare I say, has a losing record. It's never happened. You know, there's some winnable situations there at a better price tag at 16-1. But, you know, if the AFC West beats themselves all up, could the Ravens then theoretically just go up against the Bills for that best, you know, record in the AFC?
I mean, this is why it's tricky to me, and that's why I can't have a confident decision. I mean, what if Trey Lance is a real deal? 18-1 for the 49ers.
And they're talking Super Bowl. And because the NFC is down and the NFC West is down, they feel worse off for wear in Arizona. We don't think right now Seattle with the two-headed quarterbacks of Drew Lock and Geno Smith are really ready to make a splash. And the Rams could have that patented Super Bowl hangover.
I didn't hear how about those Cowboys from you today.
I didn't want to bring it up.
Okay.
16-1. I think they're live.
You do? Wait a minute.
To have the most wins in the NFL, what do you got? 13 to even be in the conversation?
They are a shoulder bruise for CeeDee Lamb away from being really thin at wide receiver by right now.
You watch your mouth, sir. Pritch, always enjoy the conversation, my friend.
I enjoy it as well, Dave. Absolutely.
Always a great 2 hours with you talking NFL and beyond. Of course, want to thank Lou Finicaro for joining the program today. Again, no UFC, no First Strike people, but we will be back next week with First Strike. Shameless plug right back here in the network. And of course, I want to thank Steve Mackinnon for all the fine work he does each and every week with his numbers. And Matt Santos, a great job behind the glass. Thanks for watching the Lombardi Line on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.